hidden in the hearts of men and women who have slipped into the shadows.
Yes.
I know the nameless terrors of which they dare not speak.
And now the Whistler's strange story. Letter from Yesterday.
Sitting by the window of the streamliner as it sped through the night toward Los Angeles, Arthur Wilson seemed like any average middle-aged businessman. But there had been a time when Arthur Wilson was somebody else. Jack Foley. So it was 25 years ago. Jack Foley. Now Arthur Wilson would never forget it. The plaintive wail of the train whistle drifting back at him now somehow recalls that other time and place. Exactly as if it were now, this moment. Perhaps it was because another whistle had marked the time when it all began. The night that Jack Foley was given a chance to reach out, to grasp a new life. That night, 25 years ago, in a prison machine shop.
That's all you guys! Clean up this shop!
Right. Well, Dave, that about does it. This truck's practically got a new motor in it.
Yes, he's in fine shape, Foley.
Come on, let's get this stuff cleaned up.
Foley.
Yeah? Admission keys. Hand them over.
Huh?
Look, I don't want any trouble. Give me the keys. I'm getting out of here.
Prison break.
Now, wait a minute.
Sheriff, it's all set. Evans and Harris are by the delivery gate. I'm picking them up with this truck and we're getting out. You want to come along?
Hey, let's hold it up back there.
Make up your mind, Foley, fast. The car will be coming back here. And I got to take care of them. Well, what do you say?
It happened suddenly, doesn't it? A chance for freedom thrust into your hand. You have 3 more years to serve on your sentence for manslaughter. A sentence that was the result of a moment of blind, unreasoning anger. You still feel it was unjust, don't you? That the judge's decision was too harsh. And now, in an instant, it's up to you to make your own decision.
Come on, Foley. Come on, all right. The guy's on his way back here now.
All right. I'm with you. Let's go.
Mother. A singer sounds exciting, but just a small one, Jameson.
And please have him served with sandwiches.
Yes, ma'am. And you, sir?
Sting will be fine for me, too.
Bring them out on the terrace, Jameson. I want Mr. Wilson to see the way we've lighted the garden.
Oh? Now be careful of Mother, Mr. Wilson. Dangerous woman?
Very.
Now you two run along and dine. Sally, take him away.
I'd love to.
That son of mine.
He's a fine boy.
Yes, he is. Here, we can go this way.
Oh, thank you.
A good excuse. I wanted to talk to you, Mr. Wilson, alone.
Oh?
This is rather difficult for me to talk about, Mr. Wilson, but, well, quite frankly, I'm concerned. And now I don't want you to think it's because we don't all love Sally. We do. But,
But what, Mrs. Franklin?
Well, you've been a hardware store, Mr. Wilson, in Medford.
Anything wrong with that?
Oh, no, no, not at all. I'm sure that it's a very fine store. But before that, who were you? What did you do?
Who was I?
Well, what I mean is, we know so little about you. Sally herself doesn't even seem sure. I only wondered if you...
It's quite natural that you'd wonder, Mrs. Franklin, but I can set your mind at ease. I was brought up by an uncle. Ran away like so many youngsters did in those days. Went to sea for a while.
Oh? And your uncle? Where is he now?
He's dead. He's my mother's brother. As for my father, well, I scarcely remember him, but...
Mr. Wilson, I don't mean to recall unhappy moments to you. I know you must think I'm terrible, but you see, my son...
I think I understand. I feel the same way about my daughter, Mrs. Franklin. I'm proud that she's marrying Stephen.
Thank you. And I'm sure you can see that I would at least inquire, so that the children shouldn't make a mistake that they might regret.
But there'd be no regrets, Mrs. Franklin. No reason there should be. Believe me.
Very well, Mr. Wilson. We won't discuss it any further. And thank you. After all, the important thing is that Stephen is going to marry a fine girl.
I'm glad you feel that way about Sally.
Oh, I do. And now, if you don't mind, I'll just go back in. Stephen knows that I've been worried, and I want to tell him that everything is all right.
Well, thank you. Mind if I stay here a few minutes?
Oh, yes, do, by all means. It's so nice and quiet that gives the person a chance to think.
Yes.
Oh, and here's Jameson. You can serve Mr. Wilson here, Jameson.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm just going back inside. I'll take mine. Thank you.
I'll be along shortly, Mrs. Franklin.
All right.
Your drink, sir?
Oh, yes. Thanks.
Thinking of something else?
Yes, I was. But it doesn't matter.
I think it would, sir. To her.
What are you talking about?
Delightful woman, Mrs. Franklin. Pleasant. Friendly. But very, very devoted to that son of hers. All she has in the world, you know.
Aren't you being a little presumptuous, Jameson?
Presumptuous? Oh, no, sir. Not at all. I wouldn't dare be presumptuous to one of Mrs. Franklin's guests. She could cause a lot of trouble, you know, to anyone who wasn't right in line.
You're a little confusing, Jameson. Don't suppose you've been sapping these stingers.
No, sir. I never drink when I've got business on my mind. But I don't want to be confusing. I want to be perfectly clear. You were asking questions, wasn't you, sir? To know all about you.
Now, see here, Jameson.
I'm talking, sir. And you'd better listen quite carefully if you know what's good for you. Because I could break up your daughter's marriage in a minute. Mr. Jack Foley.
Jack Foley?
Yes, sir. We know the gentleman, don't we? Now, shall we talk about him? Or do you think Jack Foley prefers to go back behind those prison bars?
Vaudeville is dead. And well it should be, for I have just discovered that for 200 years it went under a false name. The whole sticky mess began with a chap named Olivier Basselin, who lived in Normandy in the 15th century. This Bassarin fellow wrote songs which poked fun at current events and brought him a fair amount of head. Since he lived in the Valley of the Vere, or as it was said in 15th century French, Vaux de Vere, his compositions were called Vaux de Vere songs. Naturally, his ballads worked their way to Paris. But the Parisians botched the whole thing. They started calling Bassarin's creations Vaux de Vere songs. This meant, of all things, Valley of the City. Plays that used such songs were called comedies with Vaux de Vere. Later, Americans borrowed this incorrect term, vaudeville, to identify the kind of variety show that played the palace. And so, you see, no one should be downhearted because vaudeville is dead. It never existed at all. During all those years, it was really vaudeville. My word.
And now back to the Whistler.
It was a sudden thing, and what it up there? Like the moment of anger that resulted in your sentence for manslaughter more than a quarter of a century ago, when you were still Jack Foley. The sudden decision you made a few years later to join in that prison break. And now this startling recognition by a servant in the home of your daughter's fiancé, who calls himself Jameson. He can destroy everything, can't he? Your daughter Sally's coming marriage, your business in Medford. He can even brand your whole life as a masquerade and tell them all who you really are and send you back to prison.
Jack Foley, my old classmate. And I'm not mistaken. I've been very careful, Jack.
My name is Wilson. Arthur Wilson.
Sure. And mine's Jameson. Now it is. Used to be Sanders. Remember Ben? Three cells down from me. Same section. Number 34192.
I don't know what you're talking about. I've lived in Medford, Oregon for a quarter of a century. I never heard of you.
Oh, come now, Foley. Put on your thinking cap.
I've told you my name is Wilson. I never saw you before.
My, what a contrast in memory. Why, I recognized you instantly. But it's understandable. I was a very young man, and you only knew me a short time. You, left us rather suddenly, Jack.
Stop calling me that.
Sorry, sir. That's better. You know, I ought to call you Lucky.
Lucky Jack.
But now, Arthur Wilson. Successful businessman and daughter about to marry into one of the best families in the state.
What are you after?
Memory's getting better, isn't it?
What is it? What are you at? Is this some sort of blackmail pitch you're giving me?
Now, you know, that's an interesting thought.
It might be if I were the man you think I am.
The man I know you are.
How long have you worked here, Jameson? Or Sanders, if you prefer.
6 months or so.
You must be out of your mind. Suppose I happen to be Jack Foley. You think for 1 minute that Mrs. Franklin or anyone else would take your word for it?
No, sir. Certainly not.
Well, then what are you driving at? Why all these ridiculous suggestions?
Jameson. Sir? I have what is known in the trade as a black on white. Surely you remember Professor Flip Dolan, Dean of Forgery? He was in another section, but in the apartment just below.
I'm getting tired of this, Jameson.
Great man, Professor Dolan. To the professor, any written document with a black on white. I, have such a document.
Regarding Foley?
Regarding you, sir. Yes.
Light's very good, Arthur.
Well, show it to him. But remember, the light's also too good for you to start anything.
You seem to think of everything.
Well, take a look at this and you'll really think so, sir. Yeah. The letterhead will convince you, I think. Look at it. Bureau of Identification, Washington, D.C. Department of Fingerprints.
The Bureau of Identification sent my fingerprints to you?
Oh, no, sir. It was the other way around. I set your fingerprints to them.
But, well, it's quite simple.
I train him, you know. Well, I'm sure that as a hardware merchant, you are grateful, shall I say, to our maker, for your work in the machine shop. I've used my training in photography to avert it many times. Taking fingerprints is a very simple process.
Hold on, Jim.
Where did you get my fingerprints? Oh, they're all over the house, sir. Naturally, as a servant anxious to please, I go all over the house. I picked up your prints the first night you were here. Water glass, wine glass, knife, fork. Then I sent the photograph off to Washington.
It's incredible,
but true, huh? The answer here arrived this morning. The prints of Jack Foley, escaped convict, and Mr. Arthur Wilson are well exactly the same. Amazing coincidence, don't you think?
What are you going to do?
The question of what you're going to do, Jack. For me.
Call me Wilson.
Arthur Wilson. Gladly, Mr. Wilson. You'll cooperate then? My daughter is getting married in 4 days. What is it you want?
Oh, I'm very common as a blackmailer. I want money.
$20,000. Might as well ask for $1 million. I haven't had more than $2,000 or $3,000 in the past 2 years.
Oh, come now. A prosperous hardware merchant?
I don't even own the store, James. Most of the stock is on consignment.
We'll have to sell things much faster than you ever did, won't you, old chap?
I can't raise that much money, James.
Now, I'm the one who's getting tired. You'll raise it fully, every dime, no more, no less, and I want it by Tuesday at 4 o'clock.
2 days? That's impossible. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to the police.
Go right ahead.
And I'll go to Mrs. Franklin with this letter. That'll let both of you do it.
Then I haven't got my daughter's happiness to worry about.
Tuesday at 4,
sir?
I better have a chance to think, at least.
Certainly, sir. Here's what I suggested. Put on your thinking cap. Good evening.
Pleasant chap.
Very pleasant
chap. There it is, Arthur. A demand that places your future in your daughter's happiness wiggly on the block. It's all over if you don't meet Jameson's request for the money. And you haven't the slightest idea where you're going to get it, even part of it.
But you have to try.
The next morning, from a booth in a neighborhood drugstore, you put through a call to Walter Reynolds, president of the Medford Grain Exchange Bank.
I have your party, sir. Go ahead.
Hello?
Hello, Walter. This is Arthur Wilson.
Oh, yes, Arthur. What can I do for you?
Well, something's come up. I can't go into details over the phone, but I've got to raise some money.
Certainly, Arthur.
It's an unusual amount,
but
when
I... take care of it, Arthur. We'll be glad to credit your account with a cup of coffee.
Why, it's more than that. I need $20,000, Walter.
$20,000? Why, you know we couldn't handle that.
I know it's a great deal, and I figured that banking with you for over 20 years meant something.
It does, Arthur. Of course it does. That's why I just agreed to a couple of thousand. But 20? I can go only so far. Look, Arthur, if it'll do any good, I'll add my personal income to make it 5,000.
$5,000?
Is that better? I'll wire it to you down there in care of the interstate processing.
$5,000.
All right. Thanks, Walter. Thanks a lot. It doesn't mean much, does it? Added to your checking account and the few traveler's checks you're carrying, it's still a total of only $6,500. Jameson said $20,000. And you know that's his price for delivering you the letter from the Bureau of Identification. That will be your pass, right? You put through another call to your closest friend, Ward Worthington, only to discover that he's away on business and can't be reached. It's $6,500 and nothing, isn't it? And the next morning, returning from the Interstate Trust Bank, you tell yourself that you're going to get that letter. Later, you're nervous and trembling as you face
him. Well,
Foley, you've got the money, have you?
Look, James, give me a break, will you?
If you only
will.
Well,
the money for him.
Stop that talking.
You can't do that.
No, can't I?
I don't care for myself, but it's Sally.
Happiness. You can't do this, Jameson. It would ruin everything for her.
I understand, Foley. I really wouldn't want that to happen.
And it won't.
As long as you hand over $20,000.
Well, I wasn't able to get it.
You weren't able to?
How much did you get?
$6,500.
Well, that's absurd, Foley. Not even half what I asked.
Keep your voice down and stop calling me Foley.
Oh, I should have told you. We're practically alone. Franklin went downtown. Stephen's out with you.
Walter,
you're not going to destroy that happiness, Jameson. I want that letter.
Now, don't get impulsive.
I'm not fool enough to get careless, eh?
God.
What's that for?
Protection. I know all about you. Can't done it again, haven't you? You stand over him, the rage slipping away into fear. You didn't try to kill Jameson, but you could never prove it if you were found here. You shake your head, trying to clear your senses.
The letter.
You must get that letter. You stoop down, run into his pocket, and then turn to start out of the room. That's when you realize what Jameson meant when he said you were practically alone. There's a frightened girl standing there, still to the maid. Her eyes wide, moving back and forth from you to the silent figure on the floor.
You killed him. You shot him, Jameson.
It was an accident. You've got to believe me.
I saw it from the hall. With my own eyes.
It was self-defense. I had to do it, Hildy. You've got to tell them that. The door. Someone's at the door. Stall them, Hilda. Try to send them away. I've got to have time to think.
Oh, so you're killing with my own eyes, I did.
Yesterday afternoon.
Yes, sir, we have to.
Come on, we can't
o'clock, but an hour before you killed the butler. Seems the kids didn't want all the father out of a big wedding and just took things into their own hands.
That's wonderful. Wait, does Mrs. Franklin know about me, my past?
Oh, yes. She's retained her personal attorney to represent you. She's sure is the man.
And Sally and Steve, she's satisfied?
She's quite happy. Thinks your daughter's a great girl.
Too bad your mother would be so impulsive, Wilson.
You'd have been a lot better off if you'd have come to us right away. Even if it meant finishing your jail sentence.
I know. But I just had to have that letter to Jameson from the Bureau of Identification.
My daughter's happened. You
didn't read that letter,
did you?
No, your man took it before I had a chance.
Take a look at it.
Dear Mr. Jameson, regarding the fingerprint photos accompanying your inquiry as to the further identity of one Arthur Wilson, would it be advised that information of this kind is available only to duly authorized agencies for the enforcement of the law?